kind of like that kind of show. Very special, very artsy, very scholarly. Our guest here today, the amazing Gilbert Gottfried.
Hello. Thank you, Howard. wait a second.
We did a movie called The Aristocrats.
Yes.
And
yes.
I did many, many interviews where I talked about you being the genius of comedy. I said you were the Picasso of comedy, you were the Stravinsky, you were the Miles Davis of comedy. So, be funny, Gilbert.
Yeah, okay, well, that's it. Yeah.
I'm going to say this right up front. Gilbert has a DVD out called Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes. Was that your idea to do a dirty joke DVD?
It was my idea for the title. Yeah, because, you know, there were a lot of choices I could have made, and that was one you got to think about.
And you can't tell the jokes on the radio because we're free FM. What jokes do you cover in there?
I can tell them?
Well, if you have a clean version of the dirty jokes.
Oh, why don't I just do, like, the clean punchline?
Okay, go ahead.
Some of the dirty jokes. Let me see if I remember any. You told me yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Yes. Yes. Let me see. Help me find my keys so we can drive out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have another one?
Okay. Let's see. Let me see that map again.
Okay. That's the same joke.
Oh.
Let me see the map again. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And how long is the DVD?
It feels like 3 hours. Yeah. Might just be 5 minutes, but it feels so much longer.
And you recorded it live in New York City?
Yes. Live in New York City at some club. I even do yet another version of The Aristocrats.
Do you really?
Made famous from a film. Yeah. I forget the name of that film.
I believe the film was called The Aristocrats.
How do you like that?
And you're what was that movie where Jerry Lewis plays a bellboy?
Oh,
what was the name of that movie?
That's a tough one. Yeah.
And, you know, we could have this out in the end.
Yes.
You claim that you were the one to first tell me the Aristocrats joke.
Yes, I claim it was in Vegas, and we were sitting in that coffee shop.
And that that's the first time I heard it, you're claiming that?
Yes, yes.
Except you told it to me in New York before that.
Oh, okay.
You're just saying I have a very bad memory.
What I meant was I told you in New York to build you up for the fact that I would then tell you in Las Vegas.
The time that you you told the Aristocrats that is most memorable to me, although not on film, was the time when I had a guy from MIT, and he had a French wife. His wife was, and that's not even a euphemism. She was from France.
I remember, yes.
And we were at the China Grill, which is kind of a fancy New York restaurant. And she was French, and he had this attitude toward her that was very kind of, I don't want to say condescending, but that's the first word that comes to mind. He was very paternal. He took care of his wife.
Right.
She was French, which he took as a synonym for mentally challenged.
Yes.
And he would explain everything to her, you know, hold up the menu, and even if the dish was in French, he would explain what that dish was, right? And so he wanted to hear The Aristocrats. This is way before the movie, way before all of America was just gaga for that joke.
Yes.
And they were sitting there with Gilbert Gottfried, who I had touted, probably incorrectly, as finest comedy mind and so on.
Yeah,
so they asked...
These things happen.
So you told the joke, and I had a girlfriend at the time, and of course you were alone. not surprising.
Yes.
The world was in stasis.
Yeah.
And
I don't think anyone in the audience is going, "My God, how he slipped that in! I almost fell for it." Yeah.
And you told the Aristocrats joke in full glory. So it's my girlfriend at the time, me, and then MIT and the frog, and they're sitting there, and you tell the Aristocrats joke very loudly, very animated, and very very inappropriate.
With waiters turning around.
Well, yes, you know, because you're talking about, oh, it's a very scatological joke.
Yes.
It has a lot of incest in it, a lot of bestiality, and you really specialize in all of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is one of the reasons you didn't have a date.
Yes. A lot of various insertions.
And then I, of course, laughed hysterically, and my date laughed hysterically. And they both laughed a lot. And then you and I had to go somewhere, I think, to sneak off to some sort of rendezvous. And my girlfriend and the MIT guy and the frog got in a cab together and headed uptown. And the French woman turned to the other two in the cab and said, "Would you explain to me why that is funny?" We left them in a cab explaining why Gilbert Gottfried talking about sex was so terribly funny. And that's the time of the Aristocrats I remember the most. Now, on your DVD, you also do impressions, or the half-hour impressions?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
What impressions do you do? Very topical ones? Let's hear a couple of your impressions.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on a Robert Mitchum.
Come on, let's hear something.
Bela Lugosi, Groucho. I do the old Groucho Marx.
Do some of the old
Groucho.
Yes,
that's
the live one?
When he would pop up on Dick Cavett.
So I remember when we were filming A Night at the Opera. Now, you would use film cameras, and cameras, they would make movies with these cameras. And then one time, where I was filming with Chico, there was a scene with Chico, and I was my brother, Chico, and they would film the two of us, and that's because they had a camera, and the film was put inside the camera. Now, back then, that was years ago, and that's how you'd pick certain periods of time. You'd call them a year or 7 years and various other. If it was less than a year, it could be a month, because that's less, and it would add up. That's the way they would do it.
Now, does this impression go right until Groucho dies? You just keep going.
It's all the years. It's all his later years.
You do the whole time, but you keep going.
He lingered on for another 15 years. Well,
the reason that you are the finest at this is that you don't bring your fingers up to your lips as though holding a cigar.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that, you know, because the hacks, they're afraid we're not going to know who you're doing, so they bring the cigar up.
Well, that's like everyone who does Nicholson and shoves their hair all the way back on their head.
They put their hand on their head, yeah.
Yes.
Because Nicholson always held his hand on top of his head.
See, any Nicholson movie, he's holding his head now, for no reason whatsoever.
What's interesting about that is that even comedians that are bald will hold their hand on their head because they think it's part of the...
Because some guy started it to make it look like the high forehead of Nicholson, like by pushing his hair back. And then everyone imitates everyone else's imitation.
Right, 'cause no one does an imitation of the person. Everybody does an imitation of the first person who did the imitation.
Yeah, so like people would see Nicholson and they'd go, okay, he's the guy who holds his head.
Now, you claim, smarty pants, that you have the Jerry Seinfeld that everyone does, right?
Yes.
Were you the first to do Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was.
Does anyone other than you believe me?
It was in a diner in Las Vegas that I first.
You've done it in New York before
that. Yes, I did it first in New York.
But you used to do Seinfeld before anybody cared who Seinfeld was.
Exactly.
Not that we care now. I don't want to give the wrong impression. Not that we care now, but if someone were to care about Seinfeld, you did the impersonation before they cared.
way before they care.
And do you believe that anybody that does Seinfeld is doing your impersonation?
They could be.
Let's hear your Seinfeld.
Okay.
You know, when I was
yes.
in the cameras and the...
when I was years ago...
That's exactly Seinfeld.
It was... we had two characters on the show named Elaine and Kramer. And they would pop in, and they were extra characters.
Let's hear your Seinfeld.
Okay. See, I used to do Seinfeld before anyone knew who he was, when he was just working out at the clubs. And just to annoy him, I'd go up on stage and imitate him, and the comics would be in the back laughing. And Seinfeld wouldn't come into the room when that was going on. He'd be hanging out in the bar going,
"That doesn't sound anything like me. I don't talk like that. He gives me this weird high-pitched voice, and I don't sound that way. I think if they're laughing at all, it's a fact that it does not sound like me."
But if no one knew who he was and no one cared...
Yes.
Then...
Only the comics. Yeah.
So you've never been concerned about the audience.
No, the audience would be sitting there staring, as they still do.
Now, when I first... I think I first saw you in probably 74... When did you first start working the clubs?
1928.
Yes. You used to go on at the end of the night,
yes.
after everyone, and do everyone's act before you, right? I mean, in a lampooning
yeah.
type
yes.
way. Not in a stealing type way, of course. Ed, that's what you did, Seinfeld. And
yeah.
when did you first do your Robin Williams?
Oh, I used to do Robin Williams out there, which was basically like, "Oh, look at that. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's Osama bin Laden. Oh, oh."
Now, Robin Williams was talking about Osama bin Laden
way before,
in 1974?
Yes, way before
now,
Osama
Now, why?
Bin Laden
this is what's bothering me. With that
known.
Information,
yes.
why did Mark yes. not tell the FBI that they were planning a terrorist attack?
He could have said, "Nanu, nanu," and stopped the whole thing.
But no, he
but
didn't.
No.
No, he didn't at all. Now, we just got an email question from
yes.
Paul Provenza,
oh, okay.
director of your Instagram. Do you really have an email question?
I do have an email question for Provenza. You caught me entirely off guard sleeping, though.
His question is this an actual radio show? Yes.
You're going to have to give me a minute.
Okay,
sorry.
We'll give you a minute. We'll
come
back to
that.
Now, the one thing that I heard you do once.
Yes.
One routine I heard you do once, I never heard you do since, and maybe since I have you on the radio.
Yes. Because
I can't ask you in regular day-to-day life.
Yes.
That would be humiliating.
Yes.
You once did George Harrison and John Lennon doing Who's On First. And I'm thinking, now that they're both dead, and there's no fear of retribution, you know? Because the only person you've done alive so far is Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
And it's not like Jerry's going to kick your ass.
Yes.
So, Groucho, you're safe, right?
Yes.
Robin Williams, you know, he can get angry, but you're okay. But do you do the John Lennon and George Harrison? What killed me about that was that to most American speakers, and I try to consider myself to be one, to most of them, the Beatles all talk exactly the same. It's just Liverpool.
Well, do you remember when they had the Beatles cartoon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so all of them sounded like Ronald Coleman. He's like, "Hello, George. Oh, those bank robbers are after us now. We'll have to do something about it."
But Ringo had a different voice during that, didn't he?
Oh, I guess he was the only one with a different voice.
Because he's the funny Beatle.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was the very, very funny Beatle, so you had to have a funny voice.
To think that both George and John are now known as the Quiet Beatles.
Can you do a little of Who's On First with George Harrison and John Lennon?
Yeah, the way you really lead into it is to say, "Hey, you know, I heard somewhere."
Okay. You know, Gilbert, I heard somewhere that there is a rare recording of John Lennon and George Harrison, who were both big comedy fans, doing the Abbott and Costello classic, Who's On First. Do you have a tape with you of that? Do you have a tape of that?
Why, yes.
Could you play that for us? Well, why don't we hit that button? There's a lot of leader on the tape.
Yes. I'll hit the button after you stop drooling. Oh, Let's see.
Take your time.
Let's see if I remember it. John Lennon and George Harrison doing their beloved Who's on First Base. What's the fella's name on first base? What's the fella's name on second base? I'm not asking you who's on second. Who's on first? We're not talking about him. When you pay off the first baseman, who gets the money? Every penny of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it. Who is? Naturally. So you pay off naturally. No, we pay off who?
I thought that was going to go until one of them was shot.
Yes!
No, the one thing different between Picasso, Miles Davis, Stravinsky, and you is the other three had endings. Picasso, you know, in the Gilbert Godfrey world, Picasso is still painting.
Yes.
He's still going, I'm not sure. I'll just do that flower again. Yeah. They're still.
Maybe I'll put faces on the flowers now.
Big, smiley, happy faces.
You know what? I could paint a boat over the flowers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's that show that they used to have. What was that show where they did painting on. They taught you how to paint on
PBS,
something. Who was that guy's name? I forget.
That whack
job. Guy who's always talking like this.
Yeah, and he would paint. He would paint, and it always looked finished to me.
And me too.
It always looked done. Like he put like two trees in, and I'd go.
I go. Yeah,
that's fine.
That's fine.
And then he'd go. Now we work on the house. We go.
Yes.
Oh, a house. There could have been a house. Why did I think of a house? Two trees and a lake. That's fine for me. He thinks of a house. Oh, there's going to be a door on the house. There's a door on the Oh, he's a genius. Chimney. He's got a chimney. And then by the time he gets down to putting the hairs of the chipmunk, you know, on the front yard, it's like I'm going, I thought it was a bald chipmunk. I was fine with that, you know. Everything looks done to me.
I like the fact that he goes, and now we're going to add, like, a street of skyscrapers here. And he'd like, tap. Brush once on it, and it makes like a perfect skyscrapers with windows.
Yeah, but that's because
window washers.
That's because he's
going by.
That's what he tells you in advance.
Yes.
He said it's like a cheating at the Rorschach test.
Yes.
Let me show you a picture of your mother having sex with your sister. What does that look like to you?
And to make it worse, he'd show an actual photograph.
Right, he'd say, here's a photograph of the New York skyline, and now here's what I've done with my brush. Boom! You have to kind of just squint a little. If you squint just a little, you can see. You see the little window up at the side? See the window washer? Here's a sandwich in his pocket.
Yes.
Boom! We're going to discuss painting more with Gilbert Gottfried. I think the finest comedy mind in the world. Gilbert Gottfried here for a whole hour with Penn Jillette and Michael Godeau from Vintage Nude Studio. We'll be back after this, and Gilbert is going to get funny. And this is Penn Jillette from Las Vegas, Nevada, and in the Vintage Nude Studio. Sitting here with my good friend Michael Godeau and my very good friend Gilbert Gottfried, who I we had someone call in during the break and say,
but first I have Gilbert Gottfried dirty jokes coming out on DVD.
Already out on DVD.
Yeah, already out.
Although you didn't give me a copy.
Yes.
You didn't give me a copy.
Well, no, I'll sell you.
I'm sure it's funny.
I'll sell you wholesale price.
It has to be very funny.
You can order it on GilbertGottfried.com.
Gilbert Gottfried. Now, are you under the impression that anyone can spell Gottfried?
G-O-T-T fried. Yes. Or just if you have kids looking some alive.
Now, in the original German, that means fried God, right?
Yes, fried
you take,
God.
You take God, you dip them in beer batter.
Yes.
Roll them around. Or, you know, maybe it's she.
And you put a stick in.
It's God on a stick.
Yes.
In the a lot of the carnivals in Germany in the 17th
God
century,
on a stick.
It would be God on a stick. They'd stick a stick into God, roll them in beer batter.
Yes.
And then they would stick them in a friolator, pull them out. It's like, you know, today it would be like a Snickers bar.
Today
your name would be Gilbert Deep Fried Snickers.
Or
but back then it was
kind of like a corn dog.
It's a corn dog with God.
Yes.
So it's a corn God.
Yeah, see, it's my family, while they were still in Germany, before they escaped, used to make these God fries, where they would fry God with a stick.
That's one of the reasons that they were chased out of Germany. It had nothing to do with the Holocaust.
Yeah.
It had to do with the fact we do not want these Jews frying God on a stick. Because, you know, in the earlier days, you know, 300 or 400 years ago, God actually intervened in human life. He would come in and you would pray that someone would get better, and they would get better from an illness. And that's because there was all this God around. But your relatives said there's so much God around. Why don't we pray that God brings himself on a stick, we'll put him in a friolator, and then we'll sell him.
Hitler used to touch people on the head, and they'd get up from their wheelchairs.
But then, when all the God was fried,
it was
just gone.
It was just awful.
And then what business was your family first in when they came to the U.S.? Or did they go right from Germany to the U.S., or did they stop somewhere else and kill God?
They killed God in other places.
All over the world.
And while they were killing God and being chased out, they kept saying, "Oh, I know why they're chasing us out. It's because we're Jews."
It was really not even related to that.
Yeah, and they'd say, "No, you're killing our Lord."
And putting him, and rolling him in powdered sugar.
Yes. We don't mind you killing our Lord, but rolling him in powdered sugar.
We don't even mind the beer batter.
Yes. The powdered sugar, it's embarrassing and degrading.
Of course it is. Of course. Because a lot of people think God is doing coke.
Yes.
He looks like Neil Young in the 70s. You know, Neil Young on a stick. They would put him, they'd roll him in powdered sugar, and during the last waltz, that's what's all over Neil's face. It's the powdered sugar, because many people thought Neil Young was God during the 70s. During the 60s, it was Eric Clapton, then it went to Neil Young, and they were all ripping off the old family recipe.
And the Beatles were bigger than God at one point.
John was much bigger than God,
much bigger
which is
than
why
God.
They couldn't put him on a stick. They
had
the whole tube.
My family tried.
They tried.
Putting John Lennon on a stick.
And rolling him in powdered sugar.
Yes, but they couldn't. God was a lot easier.
God was a lot easier because God is everywhere.
See, God's career wasn't doing as well as the Beatles at that point.
Well, God is inside all of us.
Yes.
God is inside all of us. So what they would do is they'd take different people, pull the God out of them, stick a stick in them, roll them in, well, it wasn't really beer batter, it was cornflakes.
Yes.
Then they would put them in peanut oil, was it canola?
Yes, well, naturally, my parents are Jews, so they would go for cornflakes.
Oh, sure.
And not even the name brand.
No. They were just off brand.
Yeah, Jeffrey's cornflakes.
They'd roll them in there, and then what oil did they use to fry God?
Yes, Harvey's oil. Yes.
And then a little powdered sugar and some Fox's You Bet syrup.
Yes,
has to be Fox's You Bet, or it's not New York City. It's anyway, one of our attentive listeners called during our little break
there. I think you can shut off this porn. Now I'm getting distracted.
Okay. We were playing porn in the studio here. There's pornography for Gilbert. And Gilbert was very troubled by the woman's tattoos.
Yes, she has tattoos in a very odd place.
And they're kind of, and Godot pointed out, the tattoo kind of looks like a baby's blanket.
Yes.
And he thought
that's the turn on.
They're little stars. I don't think all the work is done. It's just the outline.
It just looks like an infection.
Okay, so kill the porn.
Yeah.
And put up some, okay, good. Now it just says DVD player there.
Yes, okay.
So now you can focus.
Even that I'm more interested in looking at you. I'd much rather look at that. Okay. Yes.
One of our attentive listeners called during the break.
And we have one listener.
Eric called and said that the person we were talking about, the painter, was Bob Ross.
In
case a lot of people listen to this, you know, most college students go to John Stewart for their information about the news. And most adults come here for deep information about the American culture. So you should know that Bob Ross was the guy who could just flip the paintbrush and make a whole city.
An entire city.
This whole city. You know, creating a whole city out of a paintbrush is kind of godlike.
Yeah.
You might want to fry him up and roll him in butter. You know, you don't always go for the powdered sugar. Rolling him in honey is good, too.
It's healthier.
See, but the Beatles did beat out God at that point, because God could never write a catchy melody.
No, never.
Yeah,
never,
yeah.
Never.
He tried. His early stuff was good.
Yeah, do you know any of those bits?
Yes. But so this Ross guy, he's the one with the white afro? White man's afro?
Yeah, white man's afro, and the paintbrush that he would just flick and create whole cities.
And yes, there'd be an entire country there.
And then it looks done, and then he does more.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot, inside the window of that skyscraper, there's supposed to be a daisy on the desk. Let me put that in there. Yeah.
In fact, let me put a whole aquarium in there, and then he tap once.
Once.
And it'd be fish, sharks.
Little bubbler of a skeleton with a pirate hat.
A little plastic creature of the Black Lagoon.
Sure,
that
goes
that
like
bounce
this.
Back and forth.
Bounce back and
but
forth.
I like the fact that you're showing it, that you're actually waving your arms back and forth.
I'm doing the bubbler.
Yes. I always found those
bubblers to be kind of unattractive. I don't like to see a monster with bubbles coming out of his behind in my fish tank.
See, that's the difference between you. I don't even keep fish. I just have those bubblers.
And with the Black Lagoon creature wand.
It's relaxing.
Just every 15 seconds. Blah, blah, blah. And you know that the bubbles do not put the oxygen in the water themselves. It's just surface area that exchange that. So that whole bubble thing of putting oxygen in the water feels to me like a deep lie. If you stirred the top of the fish tank, it would do the same. They could have stirrers on the top, and as long as the water...
Or you could put the fish and the water in a blender.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Get a lot, aerate it like crazy.
Yes.
Like crazy you could aerate it. You know, what else is there to say?
Now, Paul Provenza's written in, and he said during the taping of Aristocrats that you were a bit of a diva.
That's a misconception.
Okay.
J-Lo is a diva. I'm a miserable kike.
Yeah. Let me write that down.
Yeah, see, that's the big difference.
That's the difference. Yeah. And it also has to do with the size of your ass. Is that correct?
And the fact that I was having sex with Ben Affleck at the time. Yeah. So.
Well, anytime we get you to see Affleck on TV.
Yeah, you get paid a lot of money for saying Ben Affleck's last name, don't you?
Yes, exactly. It was originally Ben.
And there was the insurance company was called Ben, right?
Yes.
Now, are you still the duck on Affleck?
I'm still a duck on Affleck.
How?
And I'm still a miserable kite. Now, I haven't changed in a minute since I first stated it.
How did you end up having this very specific specialty in birds? I mean, you're the parrot in Aladdin.
Yeah.
I mean, back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're the duck. You're the duck in Affleck.
I'm a bird in this cartoon Cyber Chase.
Cyber Chase?
Yes, on Cyber Chase. You've seen it.
I've seen that. I have kids.
Yeah, it's on PBS.
And you're a bird there?
Yes.
What type of bird are you here?
I'm a mechanical bird.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is the voice like of the mechanical bird?
Okay, I'll do them all differently.
Okay, do them all differently. First, do Iago from the Aladdin.
Okay, listen closely.
Okay, I'll listen.
Hi, I'm Iago.
Okay. Now do the duck from Affleck.
Hi, I'm the duck from Affleck.
Okay, now do this cyber chicken or whatever you do
there. Yes. Hi, I'm the chicken from Cyber Chase.
Is it a chicken?
See? No, it's some kind of bird. It could be anything. It's a nondescript bird. It's kind of like the Beatles accents in that cartoon. It could be anything at all.
So you don't do John Lennon as the as the chicken.
Yes, I'm the chicken in Cyber Chase. And I'm the parrot in Aladdin.
Okay, Gilbert, you just bought a big, fancy house in New York, right?
Oh, geez.
When I first met you, you lived like a pig. you had this little tiny, wasn't it subsidized too?
Yes, I still live like a pig.
Okay. But now with your girlfriend, you've got this like big rich guy house, huh?
It's $7
billion.
$7 billion. $7 billion. Wow. In just one half of it, the Olsen twins live. I rent it out to them.
Good, good.
Yes. And J-Lo, who is a diva, as opposed to...
Oh, you're also a diva, aren't you?
No, miserable kite.
Still?
Yes, still.
We'll be back. This is Ben Gillette, Michael Goudeau from Vintage News Studio in Las Vegas, and we'll be back with the most, I think I can say this,
yes,
the most miserable of all kikes, Gilbert Gottfried. This is Ben Gillette, Las Vegas, Nevada, Vintage Nude Studio, with Michael Goudeau and Gilbert Gottfried, who has a DVD out. It's still out. It's still available. It's in the cutout bins, mostly, called Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes. And it's also a CD, because a lot of people, they don't want to play a DVD in their car, because they're all scared about having a crash.
Yeah, all scared about killing themselves and their children.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. I think, get yourself a DVD player, plug into the cigarette lighter, they have a lot of them that do that now in your car, and then set up a big screen plasma.
As a matter of fact, I say, get the CD and close your eyes and drive, and then you can picture it yourself.
You can picture every little nuance of everything everything Gilbert Gottfried is doing.
GilbertGottfried.com, G-O-T-T, fried.
Fried, because it means God is fried.
Yes.
And dipped in powdered sugar.
Yes.
Actually rolled in powdered sugar, because you can't really dip in powdered sugar, because it compacts.
Yes.
You can't get, you couldn't
and
get.
And God starts complaining when you dip him. When you roll him, he's okay.
And when God starts complaining, tsunami.
Yeah.
Now, the beginning, I don't even know if you remember this, but the beginning of the Aristocrats movie was the banjo sandwich joke. Do you remember that day?
Oh, yes.
When we were doing Sin City, because we were doing Who's On First.
Yes.
And I think you have an impression of Penn Jillette and Gilbert Gottfried doing Who's On First, don't you?
What's the fella's name on second base? No, he's our shortstop. Naturally. Sometimes his wife picks it up. I don't know.
Third base. We had done that classic of comedy, but I believe it was the other way around, right? You were doing I was doing the straight man role, as is my wife.
I was doing the homosexual.
Right, you were doing the homosexual. Because, you know, Lou Costello, very strong,
but very powerful.
And very homosexual.
Very homosexual.
So Abbott was the straight man, and then Costello was...
I think I'm going to have some gay sex. I'm going to become a
And Jay Marshall. You remember Jay Marshall?
Yes.
Dead now.
Yes.
So stick his dick in him,
so I can work on an imitation of him too.
Exactly.
He's current.
Now, who is the person who's been dead the longest that you do an impersonation of?
God, let's see.
God, okay.
Yeah, God, yes. Here's my God imitation. Hey, stop dipping me in powdered sugar. At least have the respect to roll me in it.
And who is the person who's been dead the longest? I just want to know how out of date your act is. Who is the person who's been dead the longest?
Basically, Frank Ocean before he died was more current in the voices.
Who's the newest you do? Do you do...
Will Rogers.
Will Rogers
had more current events than I do now.
When you do your act, when you go in to do your so-called act, do you still do...
I go, hey, you know how the kids are always listening to those gramophones?
Do you still do a big, long hunk on Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
The original one.
Yes, the original. No. Actually, it's the novel, Planet of the Apes, before they considered making it into a movie.
You do jokes for that.
Yes.
Now, who did the new Planet of the Apes?
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, yeah, yeah. Now, when that one came out, did you go, oh, all this material is fresh? Because the new Planet of the Apes has been out, what, 6 years, 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really fresh for you, isn't it?
Topical.
Yeah, now it's topical. you could do the Planet of the Apes stuff right away.
For the longest time, I was doing a bit on The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah.
And then when The Passion of the Christ came out, I said, this is great. I'll just change it slightly.
Did you do that?
Absolutely.
And what was the bit?
It's a bit about Christ. And how he was being dipped in powdered sugar.
See, that's the thing people think. You know, people will turn into a radio show and they'll think you're having a conversation. But actually, I'm just leading him into the bits. You've been doing God dipped in powdered sugar forever. It's like when you used to watch the Carson show.
Yeah.
You know, and Buddy Hackett going to go, you got a horse now?
Yeah.
And then you lead in like that.
Buddy, I was reading in the papers, it says that you used to dip God in powdered sugar. Is that wild? Is that wild?
Did you do Buddy Hackett?
Yeah.
He's dead.
So, yes, my family were Jewish, and when they were in Germany, they would dip God in powdered sugar.
Now, I don't have a sophisticated ear, but the difference between Gilbert Gottfried and Buddy Hackett is very subtle.
Wow.
You moved your mouth in a different position.
Yes. All I did was pretend that my lip had Novocaine in it.
Right. So if I was say to you, let's do like a Carol Burnett sketch where you've just been Gilbert Gottfried coming out of a dentist, you would just do Buddy Hackett.
Exactly. Remember when Buddy Hackett was Lou Costello? There was a TV movie where Harvey Korman and Buddy Hackett were Abbott and Costello, and Buddy Hackett was there going, what's the guy's name on first base?
Was it one of those biopics?
Yes.
Yeah, well, like the Three Stooges one that Mel Gibson did?
And although this one had one of the great biopic endings, it's like, it shows all through the movie that Lou Costello likes strawberry malted. So at the end.
Because that keeps you riveted.
You
go, come in here, honey, come in here. There's a guy on TV who likes strawberry malted. Come in here.
So,
and I think he's a small homosexual man. Come in here.
But powerful.
Powerful.
So don't let him grab you from behind, because he's small but powerful.
And homosexual.
And homosexual.
Because the other guy's the straight man. He doesn't like the strawberry malted. So they've got you riveted.
So Buddy Hackett as Lou Costello is there on his deathbed. Bread.
Death bread,
because they roll him in the bread, then they dip him in the powdered sugar.
Yes. And Artie Johnson, as their long-suffering manager, comes in with a...
Did he do that, his German accent?
I want to try,
very
yeah.
interesting. But I still love Luthi.
Okay, the long-suffering manager, and Lou Costello's on his deathbed.
And hiding under his coat, because it's against hospital policy, he has a strawberry malted, and he hands it...
In the can? In that metal can?
Well, because they were homosexuals, so he shoved it in the can.
Okay.
No, so...
When they used to make fraps... I guess you don't call them fraps.
Yes. Down there. I still do.
Okay.
I do a bit about them.
About fraps. Well, my excuse, I'm from Massachusetts. We always call them. He has a malt in under his coat.
I do a bit about 5 cents plain.
Well, so you've updated it from the 2 cents plain.
Yes, exactly.
Used to be a whole number,
well,
you
know. I want to appeal to black people, too.
Sure. Is 50 Cent called that because of seltzer?
Yeah.
He 50 seltzer water is the 50 cent thing. Tell the thing.
Me hand the strawberry malted to Buddy Hackett as Lou Costello, and his final words before he dies are, you know, I've had a lot of strawberry malted in my day, but this one's the best. And then he closes his eyes and falls back dead.
Wah, wah. Oh, dear. That's just really sad. The first time he really enjoys a strawberry malt, yes, and then he's dead. Yeah. And what was the, when did this biopic come out?
This was a few years ago.
When Buddy Hackett was still alive, presumably.
Yeah.
Now, did they time the thing so Buddy Hackett really died?
Because he was never that good an actor.
He was a method guy.
Yes.
You know, they give De Niro all this credit for putting on weight for Raging Bull, but what about Buddy Hackett, who died right when in the biopic Lou Costello.
What I don't understand is right after he does that, and it's so sad, he lifts his head up again and goes, oh, and by the way, I believe in forced sterilization.
You know,
I think killed the whole sentiment.
The whole moment was gone. The whole moment
was gone. It was a beautiful ending, and out of nowhere.
Maybe they didn't need that.
It had nothing to do with the story.
That's the thing with television, though. You have to go to the exact length it's going to come out. So you need to pad, and you need to come out. You need to time it right. So they probably needed another 20 seconds and said, listen, buddy, anything you'd like to throw in there? And you know, they did the biopic on the Three Stooges, which Mel Gibson, you know, did.
Oh, that's right.
Mel Gibson is an absolute Three Stooges nut.
Yes.
Because if you watch Mel Gibson's work, you can tell he learned from the Three Stooges.
Yes.
The Passion of the Christ. There's a lot of Three Stooges influence.
When they nail Christ to the cross, he starts going, nah, nah, nah.
And someone...
The very end of the original version is Christ, like, running away with the police chasing him, shaking.
Wah, 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 wah. Amen.
And Jesus, Mary, and Joseph come out at the bidding and go, hello, hello, hello.
Okay, this is the Ben Jillette Show with Gilbert Gottfried. I think some of this show is a little blasphemous. It seems blasphemous in places, but
God,
it's all in
it.
Good fun.
Yes.
You know, God, we kid with you, but we love you. Okay, this is Ben Jillette with Gilbert Gottfried. My guest in the studio, Michael Goudeau, who had really nothing to do.
Nothing today, except laugh.
Did very, very, thank you. Very, very
thank
little.
That's really a complete waste of time having him here.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. I weighed my fingers for the time calls.
Yes,
come on.
Exactly.
You guys would have gone for hours.
See, you know, when you get to this level of stardom, you can have a guy just to wave his fingers at you.
See, what the audience doesn't realize is his importance to the show, because when one of us would make an interesting point, he'd make a face like, oh, that's interesting.
And he does all the finger symbols.
Yeah.
He's like a modern-day Jackie Mason.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
When I need, if I'm upset with Gilbert,
there
he makes
go.
The appropriate gesture.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right there. I just made a Jackie Mason reference.
Yeah.
I'm Ed Sullivan Jackie Mason
current.
Reference because we're so, you know, you do this. Can anybody talk about the modern-day current events when you're around?
No.
Nobody can. No. Now, when do you start addressing 9/11? Is something happening. What will that be? In your later years when the strawberry milkshake is brought to... I'm sorry, malt?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, malt.
I've had a lot of strawberry malty.
You could do it as Gilbert Gottfried. Do Durante for us.
Yeah, but this one's the best.
Well, I don't know if we demonstrated it, but Gilbert Gottfried, my guest here in the studio, I believe funniest man alive, the Picasso of...
Yes, I have one ear. Yes,
That's Van Gogh.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, Picasso.
Had both
Picasso
ears.
Picasso had both ears.
You know,
and got laid a lot.
Got laid an awful lot.
Yes.
You saw him naked playing ping pong in Playboy.
Remember
that picture?
Right. Yes.
That's a picture we all know of Picasso.
Yes.
He has a DVD. DVD out, go buy it, go Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes, and that's what it is.
And where can you get it? On Gilbert Gottfried.
GilbertGottfried.com. Penn Jillette, Michael Godot, Gilbert Gottfried, Vintage Dude Studio, Slong.